Okay, we've been looking at last week, saw that the Bible should be read and searched and studied and meditated upon and applied to our lives because of what it is. And it is the Word of God, and for that reason alone, it should be a principal part of our life. People say that they believe that the Bible is the Word of God, but their practice, the way they treat the Bible, says differently. If we really, truly believe that it is the very Word of God, then we'll read it every day, study it, search it, think about it. Being the Word of God, we see that it is the expression of God. It is God expressing Himself to us. It is the manifestation of God. It's God manifesting Himself to us. Is God communicating to us, which is a form of making contact with us. God makes contact with us through His Word. And being His Word, it reveals who God is. It unveils the person of God. The Bible, being the Word of God, I believe, takes on the very character of God. The attributes of God, we see the Bible just takes on those attributes, takes on the very person of God, which again ought to cause us to be interested in this book and cause us to hunger and thirst. But the Bible, being the Word of God, like God, is eternal. God is eternal. God's Word is eternal. Psalm 119 and verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." Two key phrases there, forever, settled. Forever, settled. God's Word is forever settled. It's not fickle. It's not uncertain. It's settled. It's determined. It's fixed. It's sure. It's immovable. And it is forever so. And kings and nations and emperors and many institutions throughout the history of the world have tried to destroy the Bible. Our own government has declared war on the Word of God. But the Bible still stands. You can't destroy it. You can burn it. You can do away with the copies of the Bible to a degree. But the Bible cannot be destroyed, because like God, it is eternal. And again, every effort has been made throughout history to undermine the Word of God and to do away with the Word of God. But it continues on, and it will continue on. We have this promise throughout the Word. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, very familiar verses that we're going to read, but Isaiah 40 and verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, as everything around us perishes. Everything around us wilts. But the Word of our God shall stand forever." The Word of our God shall stand forever. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35 that though heaven and earth shall pass away, His Word will not pass away. 1 Peter chapter 1, If we turn there, 1 Peter 1, verse 25. 1 Peter 1, 25th verse says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." It endureth. That means it's going to be attacked. But the word endureth forever. So like God, His word is eternal. But it's not only eternal. Like God, it is immutable. That is, it does not change. It does not change throughout eternity, despite the years of time, despite all of man's attempts to change the Bible, and that's what all the so-called modern translations, are just another one of the devil's attempts to change, to alter the message of God. But God's Word remains the same. Throughout history, there have been burnings of the Bible. There have been the inquisitions, the torture chambers for those who believed the Bible. But the Bible, through it all, has survived. It's immutable. It has not changed. God's message, though times change and men change to some degree, but we see that the message always remains the same. The Bible remains the same. You do not have to make the Bible relevant. It is relevant. It's relevant on its own. It stands on its own. It does not need man's help. Unbelief does not change the Word of God. Rejection of God's Word does not change the Word of God. Man can refuse to believe it. Remains the same. Man can reject it. It remains the same. In a world of constant change, again, the message, the Bible, the Word of God remains the same. It's still up to date. We'll be up to date tomorrow. We'll be up to date 20 years from now if the Lord hasn't come. And it still answers every vital question concerning the soul of man. It's immutable. It does not change. 1 Kings 8, verse 56, we read, There hath not failed one word of all His good promise. And that's true of all the Bible. So the Bible, like God, is eternal. The Bible, like God, is immutable. The Bible, like God, of course, is pure. It is pure. It is not defiled. David declared there in Psalm 12 and verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words." They're holy words. They're clean, undefiled. Psalm 19 verse 8, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes." We see in Psalm 119 and verse 40, "Thy word is very pure." Thy word is very pure. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure." And Paul said in Romans 7 and verse 12, "Wherefore the law is holy and just and good." So the Bible is untainted. The Bible is flawless. It is pure. Just like God. His word is pure. So it's like God, it's eternal. Like God, it's immutable. Like God, it is pure. Like God, it is true. God's word is true. Now, if we believe that, if we believe that it's God's word, then we must believe that it's true. And if we believe that it's true, we don't have to add to it. We don't have to subtract from it. We don't have to try to make it conform to our own ideas. We will not deceitfully handle the Word of God. Paul said that he did not deceitfully handle the Word of God. Many people deceitfully handle the Word of God, even in their private reading, because they interject their own ideas, their own opinions, and they pick and choose scriptures that suit them. That's deceitfully handling the Word of God. But if we believe that it's true, if we believe that it's true, it stands on its own. It needs no help. It is the Word of God. God cannot lie. It's not just that God will not lie. That's true, of course. God will not lie. God cannot lie. It is not possible for God to lie. Because to lie, He would deny Himself. To deny Himself, He would cease to be God. It's not possible. God cannot lie. This is His Word. Therefore, it's true. God cannot be mistaken. All of these people say, well, it's 2013. What are they saying? Well, they're saying that God's Word is not relevant. They are saying that perhaps it's not true. It doesn't fit today. But it's truth. God cannot be mistaken. God cannot be deceived. The world abounds with error. The world abounds with falsehood. But the Bible, like God, is a pillar of unshakable truth. That ought to greatly interest us. We hear today that men are searching for the truth. I highly doubt that. But if you want truth, you go to the Word of God, because that's where we find truth. And it's truth that is a big part of that peace that Brother Charlie was talking about. The psalmist declared in Psalm 119 and verse 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning." Thy word is true from the beginning. Now we can take that two ways. Thy word is true from Genesis 1:1. Thy word is true from the beginning. And that is true. God's word is true from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. But God's word is true from the beginning. It's always been true. God's word's eternal, and it's eternally true. It is immutably true. It does not change. It does not adapt to times, because God's word is truth. We see it is called the scripture of truth in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 21. The word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, James 1 verse 18. The word of truth. Again, that ought to interest us to read it. That ought to interest us to study it. That ought to interest us to search it. That ought to interest us to meditate upon it and to apply it to our lives, because it's true. Whatever it says is truth. Whether we understand it or not, we don't have to understand it to make it true. It is true whether we understand it or not. And we may not be able to explain what every verse of Scripture means. We don't have to explain it. It's truth. Whether we can explain it or not, it's true. It is the simple truth. Jesus declared in John 17, in verse 17, "Thy word is truth." And we have access to the Word of God. And thy word is truth. That is true when we get up in the tomorrow morning. Thy word is truth. That'll be true again throughout eternity. Thy word is truth. What that means is it is an absolute accord with God. And if we always keep that focus, God's word is truth. It is an absolute accord with God. It cannot run contrary to God. It cannot run contrary to the person of God. And if we read it and we interpret it and it seems to be contrary to who God is, our interpretation is wrong. God's word is truth. And again, it's an absolute accord with God. It's correct. It's always accurate. And that ought to greatly interest us. It's unwavering. It's unwavering truth. It's guaranteed. It's unfailing. And therefore, it's absolutely reliable. The truth is this: man has a very difficult time with truth. Man says all we want is the truth, but that's a lie. Because if you present truth to them, they reject it. And they get very angry. Man is far more prone to believe a lie than he is to believe truth. I mean, man today would rather believe evolution than creation. Because they would rather believe a lie than the truth. They would rather pick up a book written by man whose ideas are as twisted as can be and as far out as can be, and they will read that book as if it is gospel truth, because again, they are more prone to error than they are truth. And that's true of all of us. That's in our nature. And we have to guard against that. But the Bible is truth. The Bible is a very plain book. People say it's hard to understand. The Bible is very plain. And that's what people don't like. They read something they don't like and they go, "Oh, I can't mean that." And therefore the difficulty to understand. Well, it means what it says. When it says, "For all have sinned," that's what it means. When it says that we entered this world as sinners, that's what it means. And on we can go. When it speaks of the total depravity of man and presents man as a wicked sinner, that's the truth. And man does not like to see who he is. That's why people sweep things under the rug all their life, because they don't want to face the truth about themselves. And when one reads the Word of God, if you read it consistently, you will see yourself. And what you see, whether you like it or not, is the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 1, to me, this is a remarkable passage, but it shows, again, the idea that God's Word is truth. In verse 16 through verse 18, Peter is making reference to his experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember Jesus took up Peter, James, and John and was transfigured before them. That is, Jesus unveiled his glory right before their eyes. And Peter experienced this personally. And he makes reference to it beginning with verse 16. He says, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." He said, "I was an eyewitness. I saw it with my own eyes, of his majesty." And then he goes on in verse 17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory. And there came such a voice from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Again, the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, "I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. I was there." Verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." So he's recounting what he experienced on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, people will say, "Well, if I could see Christ, I would believe." No, you wouldn't. Again, the rich man, if he could send his brothers from hell, or if someone from hell would come and witness to his brothers, he still wouldn't believe. Verse 19 says, Again, in relation, the context is, I was an eyewitness of his glory. Jesus was transfigured right before my eyes. I heard God the Father speak, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. He says, I have something even more sure than being an eyewitness. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. He's talking about the Word of God, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. The day star, of course, being Christ. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. It is more, we can be more certain of it. What we read in the Word of God, we can be more certain of than what we've seen with our own eyes and what we've heard with our own ears. It's true. The Word of God is true. It is so true that whatever is contrary to it is a lie. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who speaks contrary to it. It doesn't matter what is contrary to it. It is so true that whatever is contrary to it is false. Notice in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Romans 3, verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. That is, whatever man says that is contrary to God, don't believe it. Don't believe it. You may not be able to explain fully a passage of Scripture, but you know. Someone can come up with an idea and present an idea, and you know that that's not right. Because I know, may not be able to point to the exact verse at the exact time, but I know that's contrary to what I've read. And that's a lie. Word of God being true provides great protection for you and I. This is why we realize that you and I, we cannot put the Word of God in someone's heart. We cannot put the Word of God in our children's heart. But we can fill their mind with it. That we can do. We can fill their mind with it. And that's good. Because then, even when they hear something contrary, they know, no, I know that's wrong. I know that's wrong. So we fill their minds, and then it is our prayer that God would take it from their minds and put it in their hearts. But it is our responsibility to fill their minds with the Word of God. And even it being in the mind, even a lost person who's been in church all their lives and their mind has been filled with the Word of God has a protection that a lost person whose mind is not filled with the Word of God does not have. So it does provide a protection. There's nothing wrong with filling the mind with the Word of God. And we need to have our minds and we need to have our hearts filled with the Word of God. But because God's Word takes on the very character of God, oh, how we ought to want to read it. How we ought to be drawn to it every single day. Drawn to the Word of God. And we've said it over and over, but our attitude toward the Word of God goes hand in hand with our attitude toward God. You cannot separate the two. You cannot separate the two. It's God's Word. And God's Word takes on the very character of God Himself. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do again thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Again, Lord, we thank You that You've given us access to Your Word and that You've given us the freedom and the privilege and the opportunity to read and to study your word, to listen to your word. And we thank you, Lord, for all those opportunities that you've given us throughout our life to be in your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would just draw our hearts every single day to your word, Lord, that you would draw our minds to your word. And Lord, we pray that as we worship you today, Lord, that you'd help us to worship you in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, for those that are here and lost, we pray that you would open their hearts to salvation just as you've opened ours. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.